But we haven't got a book in the Ordem Shalom before Midlag yet. So now the Kotin does something. But that's not Zochin Shalom Ordem Shalom before us. Zochin Ordem Shalom before us is when the Mazaki does the Maaseh. Yeah, he does the Maaseh. So there is a Maaseh. Well,
that's
the I haven't come to the yet. I'm just preparing you. What I'm doing for you now is, I'm doing for you what you should be doing on your own. You should be preparing this for yourselves, you see. So I'm very kind. Just my nature. I help you. But I'm only helping you to bring you to the stage that I can live this with you. Otherwise, I can't go where I
can't. Couldn't be argued then that even though the master...
If it comes out, excuse me, please excuse me, I'll come back. It comes out that even here, Zochin Ordem Shalom, I've got to find what it is he's mazakeh him with. So that I'm going to go through with you. So that, those are real difficulties. Those are exciting difficulties. Now we are still chopping stones, we're quarrying stones. Then we started building it. We're quarrying stones and then we've got to build a big foundation. But then we start building. We're not there yet.
Yes, absolutely. The question I'm asking is, it could be argued, even though the Maaseh Nasah is the act of time, that he's actually doing the action, but what we would call in modern Israeli court, you would say tokef mishpati. In other words, the tokef is given to the action by the Beit Din, because only an adult can give tokef to his own action. In other words, that is what I understand. On that Beit Din, he's doing it with permission of the Beit Din, the way you say Al-Dat Yibasomara.
That is fine. That's the way we're learning it, you see. We're getting on nicely with it. I just told you a big difficulty. In Zochin, the Ordem Shalom front of this is a difficulty. But we'll get over it. Mm-hmm. You know,
we could say that he's not legally present because he's a minor.
Yes, it's true. But the fact remains that Zochin Me'odem Shalom Befonav means that I pick it up on behalf of somebody else and I do the Maisa, I do the Kinyan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Kotin is doing the Tvila.
So I assume he has no token.
What do you mean he's got no token?
The token of the...
You mean token is Das?
No, token is in the sense of having constant... In the way we understand that it has the validity of an action is imparted, since he can't impart validity to an action, the Beit Din steps in here, if you will, as his guardian, as it was his, sort of becoming his father in a certain sense, that he becomes a ward of the court, Beit Din, for the purpose of this action.
No, you can't see. That's not something that we should ever before now.
That's not something that we should have.
I just wanted to tell you this. Mm-hmm. You see, in the Nick, first of all, there is translation. After you've translation, there's pshat.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding. The step beyond that is havona. So what we are doing is, we are a little bit beyond pshat, we are doing havona. What we are doing is havona. After havona,
what's understanding?
After havona, there is a derech halimud which we call higoya.
Mm-hmm.
Rav Shimon Shkok was the master in higoya. He was the master in it. This is a derech halimud. A derech halimud. He was the real master in higoya. In Lito, you had masters in havona. And the way it used to work there, a child finished school when he was 12 years of age. Finished school. That was elementary school. He could read, he could write, he could add, he could subtract, he could divide. He knew a little bit about fractions, he knew about decimals, he knew a bit of geography, he knew a bit of history. Then that was the end of his secular education. And now his real education started. Came into a yeshiva katana. But yeshiva katanas today, they don't exist, that the institutions don't exist anymore. And he was in the yeshiva katana for 4 years, from 13 to 17. And when he was in school, he was in the cheder. The whole school was a cheder. You see, he learned there also. But now when he came into the yeshiva katana, he was there for 4 years. For 4 years in the yeshiva katana, he went through a minimum of 4 masichtas. And this one of the masichtas was Bava Basra, and then he went through 3 masichtas, 3.5 masichtas. But 4 years he was there. At the end of 4 years, he was taught how to learn. Then he could go into a yeshiva gedola, but he didn't go straight into yeshiva gedola. There were a couple of places where they were specialists in Havana. When he went out of the yeshiva katana, he knew pshat. Rashi, Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, he could learn pshat. In Kovna, there was Reb Chatzkel Bernstein. Reb Chatzkel Bernstein was a specialist in Havana. So when the boy was 17 years of age, went to Reb Chatzkel Bernstein, or people like Reb Chatzkel Bernstein, Reb Chonon was another person, Reb Chonon Basserman was another person. They went to people like Reb Chatzkel Bernstein, or they went to people like Reb Chonon Basserman, and they stayed there 2 years. That was for Havana. Now, 19 years of age. 19 years of age, now he's moving to yeshiva. And the minimum time he was in the yeshiva was 8 years. After 8 years, he started thinking of a shidduch. A shidduch also takes a couple of years. So he was in yeshiva for 10 years, sitting and learning. But for 8 of those 10 years he didn't think of anything else. And then there were different drachim. If he went to Telz, he had Derech Goyim. If he went to Kamenitz, he had the Baruch Be'er's Derech, which was Brisk Plus. But when the boy came into the yeshiva, the Havona he'd already acquired, you see. Havona he'd already acquired. Yeshiva he got a goyim. For that we've already got to go into a goyim, and this will be the first time that I will be tackling anything of a goyim for you. But this is already a goyim, it's going a little bit beyond it, but that doesn't matter. What we are doing for the time being, we are just getting an idea of the Gemara. What's happened to David?
I don't know what he's doing.
Is he in the... But he's all right. He's walking about.
I think so.
All right. Fine. Now, tell me what I inquired about him, will you?
I will.
Let us just do the Rashi. In Eilo or the Ima has he also inspired. That we have done. Madbili says Rashi, the Eilo Chogeir below Nino Tino. Because we've got no gain without Milo and Tvilo. Adas Beistin, Shlosho Yehu Bitvilo, so Kadim called Tvilo's Gail Shetrihim Gimel. You need 3 to be at the Tvilo. Now, like the Din, all the Din of a Gail Shetrihim Gimel. And what is the position if he's a Gail Godel and he's not a Gail Cotton? What do you need Gimel there for?
Okay,
you don't need the Das Beis Din. What do you need Gimel there for?
The Das doesn't need the Eidus.
What for? Eidus, you give to other people.
You only need 2 for Eidus, anyhow.
2?
3 doesn't pass.
So what do you need a Beis Din there for? It's already a Gomel.
Okay, so now the Beis Din is a requirement of the Geras.
Why? For what?
For what?
Skeptic witnesses.
Well, they have to.
Do they need a bait in for
not witnesses? They're gullible. Don't they have to be asking questions?
Look, yeah, I'm asking you questions, so you give me an answer for the questions that you're asking. So I'm speaking on the Rashi. Rashi says that a Gobu also needs it, so we've got to understand why does a Gobu need it. So we see there's something else.
Yeah.
We've got to find out what you're not doing for it.
Well, the point is that the decision, the declaration that he is now a Jew is a psak of the Beit Din, is it not?
No.
It's not. No, they are deciding a they're taking an action. The action is being taken. Apparently the action doesn't have any validity unless it has three people.
That is Kabbalah's own mitzvahs.
Okay.
That's for Kabbalah's own mitzvahs. But Yahweh is nothing. There's not... Rashi says, look how careful Rashi is. Shlosha yehu b'tmiloso kedin kol tehilas geir shetzrichim gimel. Then what would be now and in addition the heinasim over they become like a father to him. V'harehu geir al yedehin umagu b'yayim koshen, and he is a geir through them. But ordinarily speaking, you still need three. But for what you need three there?
Here they're becoming his spiritual father.
Well, yeah,
which is what I said a moment ago.
Definitely like that. But it seems in an ordinary guy, you also need, what do you need them? What is it, if it's witnesses, you need two? What do you need them there for?
You need a master, a father, and a teacher.
Give the master and the father and teacher. What do you want to see the yelling for? I'm just giving you, see, if you want to, these are, in order to understand that these are some of the difficulties. When we go through the Tosfos, we get a lot of enlightenment through the Tosfos.
Well, okay, I have an idea here that just came to my mind, it's just maybe free association. We're told by Rabbi Shimon ben Shattach that you shouldn't be a Dayan Yachid, ki yin Dayan Yachid, Erechad. Okay? You would want to have, for any diyun, you would want to have three dayanim so that there would not be a, so you would have an odd number of dayanim in order to make a decision. Since you can't have one, the next smallest odd number that you should have is three. So therefore, since I come back and say that this is an action of the Beit Din that's being taken, that it would have to be, could not be taken by one.
So it hasn't got to be an action of a Beis Din. You know, all these shayamas occur, what would happen? What would happen if a goy said, I want to become a Jew? There's no deity. He's got two Jewish witnesses. And he goes through everything. He goes through Milo and the Moed is one witness, and he's got another witness, and then he goes through Tvilo with two witnesses, and Kabbalah's El Mitzvahs with two witnesses. Does he become a Jew or doesn't he become a Jew?
Well, but if it's Rashi, he doesn't. Does it not sort of seems
Jew? So what is it?
What? What?
With Rus? What happened with Rus there? What happened with Rus? What happened?
Rus Paulson, boy.
What happened there with Rus?
They were made
in 10.
They were made in 10. She became Jewish already before the war.
Or the beliefs and the tradition.
What was that, Charles?
I just thought those first two came out with Eli Nalak and his two sons.
Was what?
Would make free.
Well, interested parties can't be a bear's deal.
That's true. The Kabbalah old
man. If a naughty Jew wants to marry a Gentile woman, and he says, well, I've got to find two other naughty Jews who want to marry a Gentile woman, and then we'll each be the basis for the other one.
So you can't do that sort of thing.
You can interest the parties that you can't do. That you can't do that. That what do you call it?
Ruth Morphia?
Pardons?
She could have been a Garrett Doshaw.
She could certainly have been a great Tosha, about that there's no question.
A gear what?
Tosha, that if she accepts the seven mitzvahs to May Noah. Accepts the seven mitzvahs to May Noah. It's possible that that was only the Kabbalah's own mitzvahs was there, that the Tevilah came afterwards. that the tefillah was the entertainment to afterwards to base their him, that the tefillah took place there.
What do we mean she accepts it's already incumbent on everybody?
No, the whole Torah that she accepted, the whole Torah is possible that she accepted, the whole Torah. From a midrash it would appear that when she said to Naomi, the midrash goes through when she says, "Where you go, I will go." It says where the places are. So Naomi says to her, "You know, you're accustomed to go to theaters, to cinemas, to circuses." She Jewish daughter. She says, "Wherever you go, I'll go."
Amechami. That's more, I think, even stronger.
You have to go that way. The Midrash works out on each one of those. The Midrash goes into the details.
Mm-hmm.
See what she said. So it's possible that the Kabbalah's mitzvah was already there, and the Kabbalah's intention was there already. Her intention was there. And then afterwards, the Mila took place afterwards. I said, that's the only way I see this. And the Tevila was afterwards. That's the only case I'm taking. All I did is just go through this. But you see how Rashi puts it. So we always need those three. So we've got to understand what the three is. That is bound up with a question. But it is. The Mezake now is not the one that does the Kenya. It's bound up with that. There seems to be something else now. Let's go a little bit further.
Once the Magal began the crash, that's a difficult thing.
From all these things, he takes that. It's always been worried me. I'm afraid I can't give you an answer to that. This has worried me. The first time I learned this worried me, and it's worried me ever since then.
Well, that means that that a girl mustn't pour wine for you.
Okay? We evade all these things. We get over it, yeah? How do we get over it? With the line, yeah, in the Rusho. It's boiled, the wine is boiled.
Okay.
It doesn't apply to boiled wine.
Uh-huh. Is it? I mean, we also say that you certainly can pour beer and whiskey for
it. Yes, beer and whiskey is all right.
Okay. Now, the question I ask then is that this is just, is Rashi just taking this as an example of something that classifies this person now as a Jew?
He's giving an example. He says, for example, and from now on, he says, and if he touches this cotton, touches wine, now it's kosher.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't become trade, the wine doesn't become trade. Why Rashi just picks on this particular thing? That's the one it takes.
Could it be because this is something which was its karma? And even to that extent?
Maybe.
Which also
maybe.
Was Rashi in the wine business himself?
Yes. Mahu de Seymour, Mahu de Seymour, Oled Kachovim Beth Kairo Nicholai. I might say that. An Oved Kochovim prefers a loose life. Bechovulo. And to become a Jew is a disadvantage to him. Ve'ein Odom Nase Shliach Le'odom Lechavoso. And a man can't become a Shliach for a person to his disadvantage, Shelo Beforno, without the person knowing it and wanting it, Kloma. Shelo Vidate, which means not without his knowledge. The cotton love bardeyahu, and the cotton is not a love bardeyahu. It's not a person with understanding. Dor gabu eved came along, because in the case of an eved, we have established the perakama de gittin in the first chapter of the gittin, the vadi beef keiru nichole, that an eved wants it keirus. Noach lo liyos eved, he prefers being an eved, he prefers being a slave. And he would rather be Hefker in Zimas Ashfochas, what do you call Zimas? The lewd life, with together with the servant girls. May he yos ben chori, rather than to be a Jewish free person, Leo's mutter bevasis royal, and that he can marry a basis royal, the lozino le veloshkicho le lefkeiro. because Bas Yisrael won't allow herself to be cheap in his eyes, she will keep the laws of Midas. And she's not at his disposal that they should be just the Hefkeris. It lets us know here the Gabi Oveke Chobin Cotton Loam Rinan Hocha. That where the Gentile is a small one, a child, we don't say that. Because the Hani Licho, the Nicholai Def Kairo, that which we say that he prefers a loose life, is Godel, it's only when he's an adult. She Godel, the Midas Def Kairos. He has been raised in the ways of Hefkeres, the Toim Le Taimu de Isuro, and he has already tasted the taste of that which is forbidden. That is a piece of Gemara.
Hefkeres is just freedom?
Hefkeres is not, it's an abandonment. Hefkeres, a loose life is a life of Hefkeres is a life where I'm not bound to anything. I don't belong to any, I'm not bound to anything. Do what I like, when I like, how I like, where I like, as I like, everything. Thus, I would just like to do a little bit further in the Gemara. Mm-hmm. We've only got a few more minutes and then I'll let you sit back. David, are you getting on all right? It's difficult. We've been away for so long. So it's difficult to get back into things, isn't it? But anyway, we'll get back into it. Right, a little bit further. I've got to take it a little bit further. Omar Rav Yosef, said Rav Yosef, Higdilu Yecholim Nimchos. The way we understand Rav Yosef is Higdilu. Once they have grown up, they can protest. So a Geir Kot, even if he became a Geir together with his parents, but when he becomes an adult, he can protest. He can say, look here, this was done when I was a child, I didn't know what it meant, I don't want it. Eisrei Abaya. So Abaya asked the question, we learned in our Mishnah, says Abaya, that if a Gurus, a Shvuyo, or a Shivcho are redeemed, are converted, or are freed when they are less than 3 years of age, their Kesuba is 200. The Isau Kodaito Higdiri Yecholim Imchos. And if you, Rav Yosef, say that when they can be big, they can protest, that means that a girl who was converted when she was less than 3 years of age gets married when she is 18 years of age and gets divorced when she is 20 years of age and gets a full kesuba of 200. And when she is 20, after she gets the kesuba, she says, I don't want to be Jewish anymore. So we take the trouble of giving her a kesuba, and she takes this kesuba, and what does she go with it? She eats shellfish, and she eats trefers, and she goes to restaurants. Is that what we've got to give her a kesuba for? That's what you say, Rabbi Yosef. According to you, that's the way it will work out. That once she grows up, she can protest and she's not a Jewess anymore. Says a buyer to Rav Yosef, and if you are of the opinion that when she grows up, she can protest, will we give her a kesuba that she can go and eat it as a goya? Answers the Gemara. Lechi Godlo. We won't give her the kesubo unless she has already grown up. Ask the Gemara Lechi Godlo. When she's grown up, she can also do it. Answers the Gemara. Now, I'm sorry, I've got to learn it to you with you a little bit differently than that. I'm sorry.
I am sorry. This guy will come Rav Yosef, see Rav Yosef. When she's grown up, she can protest. That means that she became a Jewess when she was less than 3 years old. She gets married, and when she, and they will say that she gets married, she can get married when she is 9 years of age, and she can get divorced when she's 10 years of age, and she'll get a kesuba when she grows up, she will, she'll become a goya. Eisveya baya, osna baya. Hagurus by Shu Roshi Koshini Tubshin is Gai Roshin Shaku the Kusumi Bonacharumi Jorikum Yehot Kisibosum Messiah. They get 200. The Esau to die to Higili Yehelim Limchas. And if you are of the opinion that she gets, let us say that she was converted when she was 2. She got married when she was 9. She got divorced when she was 10. And you give her a Kisub of 200. And then she grows up, when she's 12, she protests and she becomes a goya, and she's got this money to spend as a goya. Yeah, we will look a kesuba to Oslo of Ochlo Begay Yuso, will we give her the kesuba to, they said, go eat it as a goya?
What?
Answers the Gemara Lechi Godlo. We won't give her the kesuba until she is grown up. That is, we wait until she is 12.
So they will be held in trust for her?
It will be held in trust.
To say she gets 200, or to say...
No, she gets 200, but it will be held in trust to see. Answers the Gemara Lechi Godla, Nami Mimichniya Benafko. But then she can... You give it to her when she's 12, or when she's 13, or she's 14, or 15, and when she's 18, she will be, say, I don't want to be Jewish anymore. Answers the Gemara, Kivan Sheik Diva Shoa Achas Velay Michaso Shuv Eli Yechelolim Ches. As soon as she becomes 12 years old and she hasn't protested, then she can't protest anymore.
So then, so she isn't going to get the ketubah.
So she won't get the ketubah until she's after 12. And after 12, she can't, that's what a dealer means. And after 12, she can't protest. What, be pardon? The same reason that you and I can't protest. We can't protest and say we don't want to be Jewish. And even if a person protests that he doesn't want to be Jewish, and he goes into a church and he has an immersion, he still comes out a Jew, he doesn't come out a Roman Catholic. You follow? See, then you can't protest. You're not a Jew.
Aren't there circumstances under which a Jew would not be a Jew?
There's no such circumstance in which a Jew can't become a Jew. There was once a very, very strange case.
Father Daniel.
Before Father Daniel, you're quite right. It's just Zuber then.
But Zuber ruled that because he had actively taken the step,
therefore he wasn't entitled to the law of return.
Yes, right.
But not that he's not a Jew, you see.
That's right.
Yeah. No, but he was such a naughty Jew that he wasn't entitled to privileges.
Yes. This was supported, I think, also by the rabbinate that they also,
to most of you, it's probably history. There was a Jew, they called him Brother Daniel. He was a Polish Jew, and he became a boy. And they
became a monk.
A monk. He became a monk. He became a Roman Catholic monk. And he settled in Jerusalem or in
the Carmelite monk.
And he settled there. And then they put him up there. The government passed the law before that, the law of return. As soon as the state was declared, the law of return was that any Jew in the whole world has got the right to come to Israel. Doesn't need anything. Has got the right to come to Israel. I think not even a visa.
Yes, he has to come and he can become a citizen by merely declaring. He does not have to undergo an immigration procedure.
That was a wonderful thing, the law of return.
Mm-hmm.
Then, they wanted, and ever since that law of return,
you know that there's been all this trouble in Israel, that a person says he is Jewish. Then the one says, he says he's Jewish, it's enough. And then the religious parties and the rabbinate put their foot down and they say, you can't, a person says he's Jewish, doesn't make him a Jew. If a person says he's a brain surgeon, you don't give him a patient to operate. He says he's a brain surgeon. Yeah, he says he's a Jew. You can't work like that. So they said, all right, as long as he's converted. They weren't satisfied with that also. He's got to be properly converted.
The whole business of the word Tahava
Khan. So there was a lot of... So they tried to make a test case, but this was many years ago, and the Chief Justice at that time was Judge Zilberg. Judge Zilberg was a Slabotsky yeshiva man. He was a very great Lamdan, knew a tremendous amount.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the presiding judge of this case. So he gave a very outstanding judgment. I was following at the time, and I didn't get the whole judgment, but I got the major part of the judgment. And it was a very interesting judgment. It was a very, very profound judgment. What he said in essence was, he said, once a Jew, always a Jew. There's no question about that. The only question is, and once a Jew, he's always got the rights, but not the privileges. And this is not a right, this is a privilege.
Uh-huh.
To be buried on a Jewish cemetery is a right. That is a right.
Do we bury a Meshumet today in a Jewish cemetery? We do?
Yes, near the fence, though, yes.
And then we move the fence, but the thing
is, moving two together with a fence.
Oh.
Move. that is what one does. You see, he's got the rights, but not the privileges. The privileges, he comes to shoot him and keep, he says he wants to be called up Shishi. I'm a Jew. Once a Jew, always a Jew. He said, they said, all right, we call you up for Mincha. Mincha now, come, Mincha, I've got to go to church. Being called up is not a right, that is a privilege.
What I wanted to clarify was that the law of return was deemed to be
a privilege. This is a privilege that every Jew has. It's a privilege that is given to every Jew. Privilege is not. I think that was the workings of the camp, don't you remember? But the whole thing came. He worked through a whole thing where if a man is married and he dies without children and he's got a brother and his brother is a Meshumet, whether his wife falls as a Yevomah to the Meshumet. As a Yevomah to the Meshumet. The Meshumet is an apostate. So there he worked a lot on that. I don't remember how, but I remember that he worked a tremendous amount of that. And he had Shiras and Chubas that I'd never heard of, never mind, never seen. I'd never heard of Shiras and Chubas. And he had those Shiras and Chubas, and he was working. These were cases that happened.
Oh, he was a great man.
He was great, yes. So, but the result of it, that is the way he worked it out.
Would a woman be required to live with her husband if he became a Meshumet? If they were married?
No, it's a married. I say the same, the reverse,
the same thing.
The Rashi is going to come up later in the next week. She's a Meredith. As a Meredith, he's looking at the bird. If he lives with the wife and she won't keep the dinim, he's not obliged to live with her. She
did. Right, but so then why the case you just brought up? Just like in Sota, there's no Melitza for Sota, because just like. There is a case he couldn't live with her, yeah. So your brother can't eat.
Yes, but here is a case that, in the case of the Meshumet, the case is that, the case here was that she doesn't fall, case whether she needs chalitza.
Right.
He worked out something there that she wouldn't need chalitza. Alright, we'll have to finish it here. I still want to have half an hour with you. Give you a little bit like this stuff after all, you're entitled to it. after a shiur like this. But we've got over the main part of the shiur. We've got to do from Eisvei Abaya to the Mishnah, and then we've got to do Tovlin, the Tosfos on Mabilin Adas Beis Din. We've got to do that Tosfos. And now I just want to have a little bit of a chat with you. You can sit back. Now you can sit back. Is this a... a question that came up. You know, all sorts of questions come up. For example, this year, I can understand that it was people work employees, isn't it? It was here. You get a year where Rosh Hashanah falls on Tuesday and Wednesday. If Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos and Sunday, fine. It's not working days in any case. Falls on Tuesday and Wednesday. Sometimes Rosh Hashanah falls in the middle of a week. So Yom Kippur falls on a Shabbos. Yom Kippur falls on a Thursday. Sukkot falls on Tuesday and Wednesday. Simchas Torah and Shmini Atzeret, Tuesday and Wednesday. Not even a holiday there. Sometimes it's Columbus Day, this one's birthday, Lincoln's Day, Washington's Day, Jefferson's Day, Franklin's Day, Nixon's Day, any birthday, nothing at all. Every Thursday. The women have it even harder. You give a break sometimes. They go through Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Shabbos. Then comes Erev Tisha B'Av, Yom Kippur Wednesday, then comes Yom Kippur Thursday, then comes already Friday Erev Shabbos, and then comes the Shabbos, and then Sunday it's already, tomorrow night is already Yom Kippur, got to prepare, and then it's Monday, and it's Tuesday, and then there's a Shabbos, and it's Friday already, and a Shabbos, and then it's a Sunday, and already Monday night it's the Shmini Atzeret. What a guy. So the women get those. They're all. Look what he's got to go through. He doesn't even get a Shabbos off in between. It's all the time. It's not easy. So somebody asked me, and I want to tell you, he was not a member of my congregation. He doesn't come to any shiurim that I give. So he could ask a question like that. Ask the question, it's so difficult. Under such difficult circumstances, we know when the second day Yom Tov is. We know when the first day Yom Tov is. Not that we don't know. We know when the first day Yom Tov is. Why don't the rabbis, he calls them the rabbis, why don't the rabbis change it and make it? I gave you an answer to this. That isn't the answer. I thought I would discuss to you with you what the real answer is. What is the real answer? You know, we've got a verse in this week's Seder. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Esor Odom Ofor Minu Adomo. Is that the way it goes? What? Ofor Minu Adomo. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Esor Odom Ofor Minu Adomo. And Hashem Elokim formed the man dust out of the ground. Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chaim, and he breathed into his nostrils a neshoma of chaim, a soul of chaim. Vayehiho odom lenefesh chayo. And the man, have you translated Vayehiho odom lenefesh chayo?
He says, and the man became a living being.
The man became a living creature. So that is the way the English translations go. Man became a living creature. So how do they take the words? I'm going to do with you a Ramban, but it's necessary to understand the grammatical form here before we do the Ramban, because the Ramban deals with it. So how do we do this? It says, for example, Moshe, after the meeting, which becomes a dialogue, which becomes a confrontation, which becomes a fight with the Ribbono Shel Olam, Moshe Rabbeinu meets him, and Hashem wants him to go to Paro, and Moshe Rabbeinu refuses and doesn't want to go, and all that, until Hashem says to him, I'm not asking you, I'm not requesting you, I'm commanding you, and you go. And then Moshe says, they won't believe me. So Hashem says to him, what have you got in your hand? He says, a rod. He says, Hashlicheyu arzo vayashlicheyu arzo vayehi lenochosh. And the rod, vayehi lenochosh, became a nochosh, right? Was turned into a nochosh. And afterwards also, and he said to him, and take water from the river and pour it out. And the water which you will take out from the river, and it will become blood. So we see, and if we were to translate this verse on that basis, then where it says, and Hashem breathed into his nostrils Nishmas Chaim, a neshoma of life, by he or Dom, and the man became Lenefesh Chayu, a living creature. That's how it translates. That is one way of translating it. Says the Ramban, there's another way of translating. For example, we've got Mizmor LeDovid. Mizmor LeDovid doesn't mean a psalm becomes Dovid. But Mizmor LeDovid means it is a psalm of Dovid, or by Dovid. Oh, by David, but it's of, it's a genitive really. It belongs to David. So in order to understand the Ramban, that is something we've got to know. I just want to read to you part of the Ramban. I'm not reading to you the whole of the Ramban, for reasons which will become evident soon. On this pasuk, by Yitzer Hashem Elokim es Adam, and Hashem Elokim formed the man, Ofor Minu Adomo, dust out of the ground, Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chaim, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of the Neshom of Chaim, Vayehi Odom LeNefesh Chayim, and the Odom, Vayehi Odom, whatever it is, LeNefesh Chayim. Says the Ramban as follows, on the words Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chaim, he breathed into his nostrils the Nishmas Chaim. Says the Ramban, Yirmez Lonu Akosu Ba'zeh, Malasa Nefesh, the Torah is hinting to us, is indicating to us in this pasuk, in this verse, the greatness of the soul. Yesodo, its essence, the Sodo, and its mystique. Please, it's got nothing to do with mysticism. The Sodo means and its secret. And the Sodo belongs to Kabbalah, not to mysticism. The Sod is Kabbalah. And the Sod is heavy Kabbalah. I don't deal with heavy Kabbalah. I only deal with light Kabbalah. So we won't worry about what he calls the Sod. So he says, how do we know that there is a Sod there? That it's heavy Kabbalah, ki hizkir bo shem mole, because the Torah doesn't say vayitzer Hashem es Odom, Hashem formed the man. It doesn't say vayitzer Elokim es Odom, that Elokim formed the man. But it says, Vayitzir Hashem Elokim es Adam. But it's Hashem Elokim who did it. So he says, that you can imagine the sword of it. What depth there lies in it. Yes, the Omar kihu nofach ba'apov nishmas chayim, and the Ramban says it says in the pasuk that he that is of the Danish lainam he lo bo o bo mina yesodos kasher romas the nefesh atenu of to let us know that this nishmas chayim is not from the elements.
That's not a physical object.
It's not from the elements. It's not from oxygen and hydrogen and nitrogen. It's all these things. It's not from
what,
that.
What tells us that it's not from the elements?
Because Hashem breathed into his nostrils nishmas chayim. So what does Hashem breathe in? Oxygen.
Right.
He breathed into his nostrils nishmas chayim. Now, dear, to tell us. He says, that is not the elements that is to be found in the nefesh atnua, in the zoological soul of the human being, in the biological soul of the human being. He says, that's not it. Gam lo behishtalshelus min ascholim anivdolim, abol hi ruach Hashem agodel. And that is gam lo beishtalchelus min ascholim anivdolim, even that which is material in the body. And the body, that part of the body which gives movement to the body, that the man can move, or that an animal can move, that part, says the Ramban, belongs to the element. It's dependent on the elements. And although these elements are linked to spirituality, their source is spiritual, he says, but this what God breathed into the man, that's something different. Avol hi, but the nishmas chayim that Hashem breathed into the nostrils of man, ruach Hashem HaGodel, this is direct from Hashem. Mipiv das utevuno. That comes only from Hashem. So there's nothing material in that at all. This what the man has is purely ruchnius. Stop me if I use a word that you don't know the meaning of. Ruchnius, spirituality. Spirituality. Is it spiritual? Is ruchnias? But you understand what it is. Ruchnias is ruchnias. Right. Ki hanofeach be'apo. Ki hanofeach be'apo achar minishpo. Ki hanofeach be'apo achar. Because he who blows into the nostrils of another, minishmo so he tain bow. He gives into the other of his neshama. So Hashem gave into the man something of Hashem himself. V'zehu shenemar v'nishma shakai t'vinenkin. Kihim yesod abino, v'derech emes, v'emuno. Now, that is going already into heavy Kabbalah, so we'll read it there. Says, "Va'alish is a nevi shemaskir, so mehem yavli kizel, so nevi shibodo mepi elyon bo him tzu shlo tekelchus oela v'rak." So he says there are those who want to regard this soul that Hashem breathed into man, that is the ability that man can plow, he can sow, he can reap. That this is what Hashem breathed into the man. So he says it's not like that. ki yoma ki yotzar odin min opa min adomo. He said because it says v'roimutu golem kevan. He said it doesn't mean that when Hashem created man out of the dust of the earth, it doesn't mean that man was a clod of earth. And then he breathed into him life, and so he could move. He says, that's not what it means. But, he says, because that's the way he did it with the chayas and with the fish. It says, Hishritzu amayim sheretz nefesh chayo. Vatotzehu oretz nefesh chayo. There it uses nefesh chayo, there it means biological life. Because it says, Totzehu oretz nefesh chayo. Hishritzu amayim nefesh chayo. The zetam le nefesh chay klomer sheshov odem liyos nefesh bo chayim achrei shehoyo cheirish es chesha dome. Kel ramatias. So he says, but in this case, it doesn't mean that. It says, first of all, it says, vayitzer Hashem elekim yeso odem ofer minu adomo. So, he had all the movements that an animal has got, everything, he built him up from that. And then vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim. Then he put into him the Nishmas Chaim by a Hiho Odom Le Nefesh Chayo. This is the great thing. He says Le Nefesh Chayo is like Nizma the Dovi. By a Hiho Odom, and man became the property of this Nefesh Chayo which Hashem breathed into him. Says the Rambam. So the man becomes the property of that soul which Hashem gives him. Which means that the soul rules over the man. And so it was with Odom Orishon. That this soul that Hashem gave him, this ruled over everything else. It ruled over the man that was Ofor Min HaAdomo. That is the way the Ramban does. Ramban is 7 kilometers. Yeah.
Let me ask.
I haven't said anything.
Wait.
Yes.
The decline that we see this Yuridahad wrote, the decline in what is within the soul,
no.
What is within
no.
The man.
The first thing, that the man is not the property of the soul. No, the decline is that the man is not the property of this Nefesh Chayo, which Hashem gave. Now, but let us take it a little bit further. I want you to know what it is. So this is the Nefesh Chayo that Hashem gave. Now, of course, it goes very, very much further. Mr. Ramban speaks a little bit about it. That in death, the soul, this Nefesh Chayo, I mean, this Nefesh Chayo goes to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But there are different other parts of the soul that are still attached to the body. That's another thing. But the Nefesh Chayo is the root of everything. That is the essence of man. That is the yesod of man. I want you to try and understand. I want you to try and understand. They said the essence. I want you to try and understand, to try and grasp what all this means. We are dealing with rules. I want you to know that everything that is Gashmius, everything that is material in the world, has got its counterpart in rules. The only thing is, in Ruchnius, it is a thousandfold more intense. I'll say a thousandfold more. Ruchnius is infinity. So it's infinitely more intensive. But let us say a thousand times more intensive. A thousand times to me. It's a thousand times more intense. I want to give you an example. You know, we get joy. I enjoy my food. Put spices into it, herbs into it. Yeah, they say herbs here, don't they?
Yes.
Herbs into it. I enjoy my food. How long does the enjoyment last? It's Gashmias. A person goes on Wednesday afternoon, he goes and he plays bowls. On Tuesday afternoon, he goes and sees a football match. On Monday, he goes and sees a baseball match. He enjoys it. Thursday, he goes to the races. Enjoys it. How long does it last? How long does it last? It's Gashmias. How long does it last? I got a letter last week from a man, not a Bentover, far from it. He met me many years ago, and he told me a few years ago, he said it took him 10 years to decide that I was real. Those are the words he used. He's a very remarkable person. He is a man that in the country in which he lived was a confidant of the Minister of Finance. I mean, nothing was done in the Ministry of Finance without discussing it with him first. He's retired, and of all places he retired to is a place called Albuquerque. Heaven alone knows where it is. So that is where he's retired to. And he writes my wife and me a letter. He wrote a letter for Rosh Hashanah. And last week, I take the post, I see there's another letter from him. He's a man of 85 now, 85, 86. I see, I thought, wonder why he's written it again. I open up the letter. And he writes, he says, you are the first people I am informing. My granddaughter Alison has passed her final medical exams. Then it tells us about her, that she was supposed to write only, she was advised to write only 4 months later, and she decided to write now, and nobody thought that she could get through, and how she passed everything she went through. The joy that he's got from that letter. I got the letter 5 days after he'd written it. And I tried to visualize him in front of me. I knew that he was still enjoying it. When you go to the football match and to the... how long does it go? And you have a jolly good meal. How long does it last? That is Ruach. The Sephorim HaKadoshim tell us that the Ribbono Shel'Olam has left over certain spheres to give us some indication of what Ruchnius is. One of those spheres is Kovod. I told you once the story of how Mr. Milne gave £500,000 or rand to the Jewish Board of Education. And they threw him, he said, I want recognition. What recognition do you want? He said, I want a banquet in my honor. They gave him a banquet in his honor.
A kosher banquet, I hope?
Banquet, pardon?
A kosher banquet,
oh,
I hope.
Yes, yes. It was there, there was a banquet, was always, if it was anything from the town, it was always under the supervision of the Beis Din. So, he is sitting here, I'm sitting there. Anyway, we're sitting at a table, it's a nice atmosphere, and the food is brought. I see he's got plates in front of him and a glass of water, and he's sipping only a glass of water. So, during the course of the male meal, I get up and I go across to him. I greet him, Mr. Milne. I say to him, Mr. Milne, why aren't you eating? I notice that you're only drinking water. He says, that is all I'm allowed to have. Can't have anything. I said, Mr. Milne, I'm terribly, terribly sorry. This banquet that you've got to. He said, you don't have to be sorry. This is the greatest day in my life. ask you the greatest day in my life. A banquet in his honor and he can't even eat. Zil, he can't eat. The banquet, he had to pay for the banquet. He gave his $500,000 and then he paid for the whole banquet. Paid for the whole banquet. And this is the greatest day in his life. Nothing goes into his tummy, nothing goes into his pocket, everything comes out of his pocket. Nothing. Why is it the greatest day in his life? Why? What's he getting out of it? Where is it?
Kavod?
Kavod. What is kavod? What is this? What
in California, they call it an ego trip.
What is kavod? What is kavod? Can you feel it? Can you see it? The Sforim HaKadoshim say that the Ribbono Shleilam left over so that you should know what kind of ruchnius there is on the Olam HaEmes. On the Olam HaBo, what type of ruchnius there is? Get some idea what there is. That is ruchnius. Whatever there is, so you can see how much more intense it is. We speak about nachas. This gentleman in Albuquerque has got nachas from his granddaughter. You've got no idea what's going to cost him. He's a wealthy man. He's going to put her up in practice. It's going to cost him a fortune. Nachas he's got. Nachas. It's not gashmius, it's ruchnius. Nachas covered. These things are ruchnius, they're not gashmius. But we can see, compare it with its equivalent in gashmius. Larry, do you understand what I'm saying? Compare it with, it's 1,000 times more. In intensity, it's 1,000 times more. It lasts 1,000 times more. A different thing altogether. That is when you're dealing with the Neshama. They tell me that in the human brain, there are 10,000 million cells. And in the body, billions upon billions must be in the body. However many cells there are in the human body, in the soul, there is the equivalent of that in ruchnius. But so much more intense. So much more intense. Now, I want to ask you something. I read in the newspaper, I see in the news on the television, they are having whole inquiries in a certain town, I don't remember the town, not Costa Rica, Contra Costas. All inquiries. What are the inquiries? They find that there's an incidence of cancer of the lung. Cancer of the lung. People have got it more there than anywhere else. So they say, what's the cause of it? There is a pollution there. So I ask a simple question. If there's a pollution there, then you go away. As soon as your lungs start to become polluted, you go away. So, you don't notice that your lungs become polluted. By the time you notice it, you've got it already. You don't notice it then. We don't notice what happens to our neshama, the damage that is done. We don't notice. We are exposed to this, all this coarseness, all this vulgarity, all this spiritual contamination. Can you imagine what it does to the soul? Whatever happens to the body is in the soul, but 1,000 times more intense. Can you imagine what it does? Well, why don't we feel it? Why don't they feel it that it's coming? They're getting cancer. You don't feel it. It's polluted. You get it every day. You're taking it. You don't feel it. We don't feel it. The soul, we certainly don't feel it. But it's happening to us all the time. Now, I've told you certain rules. I've told you whatever there is in Gashmius, there is the counterpart in Ruchnius. I've told you, but in Ruchnius it's a thousandfold more than it is in Gashmius. Now I'm going to tell you a third principle. The third principle is that the Midot Tovo is a thousand times greater than the Midot Poronius. That is, if in evil what happens, in goodness it's a thousand times more. So in go through a certain deal with me. And it's a thing that concerns us already, so I'd like you to know about it. In the Gemara there is a machlokes with the mitzvos tzrichos kavona. And amongst the Rishonim, also a machlokes. Literally, mitzvos tzrichos kavona means whether a mitzvah, if I do a mitzvah, I've got to have kavona that I'm doing the mitzvah. Have I got to think that I'm doing the mitzvah? Let us take a simple example, one that we've just done, and that is reading the Shema. Read the Shema. It says in the Torah of Shoch of Kubecho, I've got to read the Shema in the evening. Before I read the Shema, before I say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod, have I got to bear in mind, must I think to myself, now I'm fulfilling the mitzvah that the Torah says I must read the Shema in the night. That is the question, you see. Some say you've got two, in the Gemara you've got two schools, and you've got Rishonim that follow, you've got a group of Rishonim that follow the one, follow the other. Some say you've got to have in mind that you are doing it, that this is the reason you're reading Shema now, to fulfill that for mitzvah. If you don't have it in mind, then the question is whether you've done the mitzvah. You might have to read the Shema over again. The other school says, even if you don't have it in mind, but if you read the Shema, then you're fulfilled. Now we paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins that mitzvos tzrichos kavona, that you must have a mitzvos tzrichos kavona. The Mishnah Berurah goes out of his way to say that there is no question about knowing what it is you're saying. You've got to know what it is you're saying. If a person says the Shema and he thinks of quite different things, he doesn't think of the Shema at all. That's not doing it. The only question is, as I explained it to you, when I read the Shema, do I have to have in mind that I am doing it because of that reason? So, and we paskin that mitzvah strichas kavona, therefore I must do it with that reason. There is, however, a very interesting Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, but if you have do a ma'aseh, you do a ma'aseh, for example, you're benching Lula, and you don't have expressly in your mind that I'm doing this in order to fulfill the mitzvah, he said, there you do fulfill it. Why? Because you are doing an action. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This, you understand?
Yes.
I'm doing an action. So once I'm doing an action, I mean, a person won't do an action, can I say, kof? He doesn't do it like a monkey does it. He does it like a person does it. A person does doing an action, I know what I'm doing. So the mere fact that there's an action involved, that in itself shows that he's doing it for the reason of the Now there's a very, yes,
would that also apply that to
Tefillin? Tefillin also. But it's better to think when you put on your Tefillin, it says, Gushatom la'asagadecho. For you, let's go to first and therefore, when you put on your Tefillin, the way to do it is, first of all, you bring your Tefillin here, and before you tie it, you make the brocha. Because you must make the brocha before the mitzvah is tying it. So before you tie it, you make the brocha, and think, when you're putting it on before you make the bracha, think that this is the mitzvah. And then you go around. You see? And then you're ready, you take your shel rosh, and you put it on first, and have in mind, and then make the bracha, Baruch Atu Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kirishon Mitzvot Tzivonu HaMitzvah Tefillin, and then put
put it right, you see, the adoka. So it means you're making the brocha before you are doing it. Then you make your adoka, and when it's all right, then say Baruch Shem Kavod Makusel Olam Voed. Don't say Baruch Shem Kavod Makusel Olam Voed before you finish that. Then you do it. That is the way to do it.
So it should be, one should not be in the process of putting it on and saying the brocha.
No. No, aren't you sure?
Be on and then
just leave it on, but not in place. Leave it on, make your brocha. You see, we've got a thing. If you make your brocha before you put it on, it's over the over. It's before putting it on. It's still on the bread. So you put it on first, and the mitzvah is putting it on place. That's the kashiro. The kashiro is the mitzvah. So you wait, and you make your brocha, then you put it on place, and you feel that this, and when that is all right, you say, Baruch Hashem, 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 then you put it in place after you made the brocha, and you think you're doing it before you say the brocha. I'm doing it for that purpose. So it's very good.
The Shema falls into the same.
Yeah, I'm coming to the Shema. Well, no, I'm coming to the Shema. Now, so the Rabbeinu Yonah says, once you do that, he says, once you've got an action with it, even if you don't think you're doing it for a mitzvah, you don't. It's all right, because it's impossible that you'd put on your tefillin that somewhere in your mind there is the thought that this is you're doing it for a mitzvah. What else would you be doing it for? So that's all right. Now, a very interesting thing is about the Shema. Now, the brochas, says Rabbeinu Yonah, the brochas, any brocha that we make, we've got to think what it is we are saying. We've got to think of what it is we are saying. And we've got to think that this is a brocha. The only thing is the brochas are Rabbonim. It's not a little bit different. But let us say benching. Before a person benches, he says, it says, V'ochalto v'sovoto uveirachto. You shall eat and you shall be satisfied and you shall bench. So benching is a law of the Torah. So before a person benches, a person should be in mind, I'm now fulfilling the commandment of the Torah, which says that after my food, after my meal, I must bench. A person should have it in mind. So, and there is no action, because the words aren't an action. The words are not an action. Comes out as very interesting thing. I don't have to go into the details with you. According to the Rabbeinu Yonah, there is a distinction between the words of a brocha, which is not regarded as an action, and the words of the Shema, which are regarded as an action. What is the distinction? For example, when I say, I need two witnesses, and the witnesses come in front of me, and I say to the witnesses, I don't say to the witnesses, as they do in some of these courts, you were here when this and this happened. He says, yes. You didn't see the accused hitting him. He says, no. That's not the way we get evidence from a person. We get evidence, he's called, we say, what do you know about this case? Say, what you've got to say, you see. Now, he knows. It's not sufficient that he knows, but he must put it into words. So he puts it into words. The brocha that we make has to be in words. It's not sufficient just that I know in my heart and in my mind what it is I'm saying, but I've got to say it in words. So what are the words there for? The words are therefore only to give expression to what I am thinking. So it is really an extension of my thoughts. That's all the words are. So it belongs to what I think and what I feel. I've got to express it, that's all. With the Shema, we've got a different set of circumstances. With the Shema, they are dealing how you've got to, each word, how you've got to read it. For example, you must say,
Thank you.
Uri Isem Oso. You've got to be careful not to say Uri Isem Oso, that it sounds Uri Isem So. Uri Isem Oso. You've got to Uzachar Kem Es Kol Mitzvos. You've got to say Lema'an Tizkeru, so that it shouldn't sound Tizkeru, which means a different thing. Got to be very careful to say Lema'an Tizkeru. In order that you should remember, and Lema'an Tizkeru is in order that you should receive reward. These two different things. So the deen is that you've got to be very careful about all these words. Vesamtem es devorai. Not vesamtem es. Vesamtem es devorai eile. You've got to be very careful. Now, here, with the Shema, it's a different thing. The Shema requires that you say the words, and you say them carefully. So there is a law of the Shema Dibur independently of what I'm thinking. But I've actually got to say it, which is a different thing from any other bracha. And that is why I've got to be in the Din, it's all broad. The Gemara brings, the Mishnah brings, are careful about all these words you've got to be, to see that you say it absolutely correctly. Because Yahweh is a Din. So this is a mitzvah where there is a ma'aser. It's not a mitzvah where it's not a ma'aser. It's a din, there's a mitzvah, there's a ma'aser. But the way when we're reading the Shema, the correct thing to do is, first of all, before we read the Shema, it's easy. All in a, especially when we daven, as we daven here, and it's a very nice davening. When we daven here, when the Chazan announces Rabbi Yaakov Dovi, when the Chazan finishes, Baruch Atu Hashem, Ohev Amo Yisrael, we all say Amen, and then, just it takes 2 seconds, and I think I'm saying this now in order to, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah. It says, B'shoch b'chol b'kubrech, when you lie down, you say the Shema. This is the Shema of the evening, and I have it in mind. I'm doing the mitzvah. Also, it's good if you can think that the purpose of the Shema there, the Shema Yisrael, Shema Lekeinu, Shema Lechol, is, it is, I could best describe it, an affirmation of an act of loyalty. That is, that we affirm that we are citizens of the kingdom of Hashem. Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem is our Elokim. And we undertake that we are citizens of this kingdom of Hashem. And Hashem Echod, and the absolute Achdus of Hashem. Hashem is one, there is no other one that is like it. About which I thought that we would come to the Gemara where I'd be able to speak about it next week already. I'm afraid we're a little bit behind. I thought we'd be further today. I wanted to speak about this. What is the idea of Hashem Echod, and what is the idea of we are Echod? The Gemara says that Hashem, Hashma Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod. That is what we say to Hashem. Has Hashem got anything to say to us? He says, Umika Mecho Yisrael, Goi Echod Bo'oretz. We say, Shema Yisrael, Larry, you know what Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod means. And Hashem says, Umika Mecho Yisrael, and who is like your people, Israel? Goi Echod Bo'oretz, one Goi in the world.
One Goi?
One nation in the world. So that is what we speak about Hashem as being Yechod, and Hashem speaks about us as being Yechod. When we get to the next page, I've got to deal with this, I've got to explain this to you. There was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai at the bottom here, Rabbi Yochanan ben Yaakov says something, and I've got to explain to you what he says, and it's in, I can only explain it to you in that light. But still, the Achdus Hashem, it is something that we are called upon to pronounce. That Hashem is one. Achdus Hashem. Yes?
Did Rabbanu Rabbeinu Yonah, for the purposes, is he saying that we don't have to say to ourselves consciously that this is
a mitzvah? He said that if you don't say that to yourselves, you still are Yates of the Shema, you don't have to read it over again. Because this is an action. It's not just that you are. It's not an extension of your thoughts. This is an action that you are afraid. The Shema has got to be, each word has got to be said. Got it? Which is a very big chiddush. It's a very big chiddush, this. But that is Rabbeinu Yonah, and the whole Briska school keeps very, very strictly to that. The whole Briska school keeps very strictly to that. Daniel, what do you want to ask?
So,
we just stopped short of you today.
Yeah, right.
Right?
That's true. The whole thing of davening, though, like, I wouldn't normally do that. I go and get my sitter, and then I take it down, and that's an action. And then
no, but that's not an action. You tie your shoes also, because you won't pray without shoes. So it's because it's an action, it's not an action for the mitzvah. Taking a lulav, that is an action for the mitzvah. But taking a seder is not an action
for
the mitzvah. That's what we call action, it's for preparation. Saying, what do you call it? There's no action in it. It's the words are just what I think. That's not. But one should try and think what one is saying. And today it's not difficult to do it.
You don't have to have a sitter to daven, but you have to have a lulav to bench lulav.
That's right. That's right. All right. Thank you. Please try and go through this during the week. Yes? Yes. Is it Rabbi Nechunya bin Akash? Rabbi Chananya bin Akash? Yes. We had a silly one. Rabbi Chananya ben Akashya, yes.
What are you reading?
Rabbi Chananya ben Akashya, Ome Rotsu, Akolish, Kuru, Zakos, Esisoyev, the Tichok, Yukolo, Emteru, Mitzvah, Shememar, Adinoi, Kopets, Aman, Shemar, Yabir, Jerobi, Adir.